This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Political perspectives, that's what we want to take a look at here today on Viewpoint. I'm glad that you've joined us. It's conversation as always with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And it's very possible that our conversation here today on Viewpoint may differ in some respects from that which you are hearing in the news media, whether it be from liberal or conservative news media, because that's not what our hope and our agenda is about. Our agenda here on Viewpoint is about God's kingdom. It's about an eternal perspective, not just a perspective on terra firma here, in the land of the free that's increasingly becoming only the home of the brave. And so as we take a look at these responses, so to speak, to the purported debate, I say purported debate because it was really hard to discern whether it really was a debate or not. A lot of things were said back and forth, but for some reason it just doesn't take on the semblance of a real debate. But what it did reveal was other things that a real debate would not necessarily reveal. And that's where the problem lies. The problem lies in what was revealed that has been hidden now for approximately 4 to 5 years, even before Mr. Biden was elected during the previous campaign, when he was hidden in a basement, was not allowed to come out and make public representations, revealing his public persona. And now his public persona has been revealed for all, including the entire world, to see. So the results are in on the presidential debate. And indeed, there is bipartisan agreement that President Joe Biden bombed and former President Donald Trump dominated the evening. Was Trump perfect in all of the what he said or did say or didn't say? No, he wasn't. He wasn't. But when you look at the bigger picture, it was disaster. It was disaster for one side. And now the mainstream media can't use the deep fake excuse to mislead Americans about what they saw, what we all saw, what the whole world saw with their own eyes. There was no AI deep fake involved. This was the real deal. This was the real Joe Biden. Biden was incoherent, lost his train of thought, and appeared confused. Often, the president was showing obvious signs of significant decline in mental acuity. Not only that, but physically, in every way. The 46th president offered no believable defenses for his record as president. It was just almost a perpetual mumble delivered at high velocity, which led me to believe that behind all of that were some sort of amphetamines, something that was pumping Mr. Biden up so that he would have this sense of energy that caused him to deliver oftentimes like a shotgun or like a machine gun, speaking so rapidly and yet still mumbling, so that what he was saying was almost undiscernible and oftentimes made no sense at all. So as most believe now, this debate greatly increased Donald Trump's chances of winning the 2024 presidential election. Democrats know this and are now in an appreciable, if not vociferous, panic mode. In fact, after the debate, rather than go to something like Newsmax or Fox News to see what their perspective was, I went to CNN and MSNBC. I wanted to find out what those folk, the very liberal Democrat that would be celebrating Mr. Biden and turning everything into a positive, no matter how it turned out. But that's not what happened. There must have been 10 or 12 contributors there at on CNN after the debate. And every single one of them displayed various levels of panic and worry, oftentimes expressed in really just extremely emotional fashion. Some tried to restrain themselves. A few of them tried to put a positive spin and say, well, this was just one debate. And by the way, that's what Mr. Obama now has said. Well, don't kick out Mr. Biden. This was just one debate. Okay. That having been said, we want to take a look, though, at the bigger picture. The bigger picture is not just the words that were said or not said. Words are cheap. Words are cheap coming out of any politician's mouth. In fact, words are cheap coming out of many pastors' mouth. They tell people what they want to hear. The pastors are acting like politicians while they expect the politicians to act like pastors. It's an amazing time that we live in, isn't it? Everybody's trying to tell what they want to hear, what they think their public wants to hear, because everybody's looking for some sort of power, perks, and positions, some sort of accolades, some sort of benefit out of what they can tell the people. Did you notice that Jesus never acted like that? He didn't act about telling people what they wanted to hear so that he could get something out of it. He already was King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even though he was a man on the earth, but he already had the eyes and ears of the Father because he came full of grace and truth. He said, I don't say anything I don't hear the Father say. I don't do anything I don't hear see the Father doing. My will is to do him that sent me. So he didn't have to trade puff. He didn't have to puff up his ministry. He didn't have to tell about how great he was. His works revealed it. His presence revealed the truth of who he was and what he represented. So it was interesting when the religious leaders, in fact, not the religious leaders, but the people themselves, when they heard Jesus speak, they made an interesting observation. They said, this guy, he speaks not as the scribes, but as he speaks as a man under authority. He speaks like he really knows what he's talking about. He's not trying to pump anything up. He's not doing trade puffing, which is what lawyers call going into ecstasy about how great things are and how great you are or your product is and so on, even though it may not be true. They call it trade puffing. And so you get by with it in the law as if it's not fraudulent, not telling the truth. But Jesus didn't have to go through trade puffing, and neither did his disciples. Have you noticed that about the Bible? They didn't have to go through any of that. Because when you represent the truth, you can rest on the truth and let the truth carry the day. Now, if the people buy into it, fine. If they don't, you don't have to add to it. You don't have to feed it extra protein in order to make it stick. So what happened last night? We'll be back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Political perspectives from a kingdom viewpoint, that is the kingdom of God. Now, whether you're a Republican or Democrat, hopefully you are first a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, if that's not true, you're an idol worshiper and are guilty of breaking the Ten Commandments. You're worshiping another god. you're serving another god. You're either serving the Republican Party with absolute adherence, or the serving the Democrat Party with absolute adherence, or serving some other source, some other goal with absolute adherence. But for Christians, our obligation, according to Jesus, is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then he says, all the other things will be added unto us. Does that mean that we should not vote in political elections, or that we shouldn't be involved at all in politics? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But it does define the reason why we would do that and in what ways we would do that. Because when we're involved in politics, we have to look different than the rest of the world. We have to speak differently than the rest of the world. Because if we don't, we're of the world, yet the Bible says we're to be in the world, but not of the world. So the problem is not whether we should have any interest whatsoever in politics. The question is why we should have any interest, and what should that interest be? Well, the interest should be to advance the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's very simple. Which means that it's not about the kingdoms of the Democrats or the kingdoms of the Republicans. It's about the kingdom of God. It's not about which candidate tells me in a debate what I most want to hear. Maybe it's the candidate that tells me what I should hear, whether I want to hear it or not. If it lines up with truth, and if it lines up with the kingdom of God perspective. Now, not everything about politics is dealing with things related to directly to the kingdom of God, but in many respects it are. For instance, when we talk about economics, ultimately, the Bible talks about economics. Jesus talked about economics. In fact, he spoke to a rich young ruler who may very well have been the Jeff Bezos of his time. Well, using that lightly, because at least the rich young ruler was seeking to follow God. We don't know about that with Jeff Bezos. We have quite the contrary understanding based upon what he says and what he does. On the other hand, the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus responded, "Well, keep the commandments." And he said, I've kept all these commandments from my youth up. That's more than most Christians can say. That's more than most pastors can say. Right? And Jesus didn't even disabuse him of what he said. He didn't say, "You're a liar." He said, "I don't believe you." He didn't say that. He took him at his word. He said, in fact, he basically took him at his word as if it were true. And he said, "But there's one thing you lack." And what was that? It had to do with money. It had to do with economics. He said, "I'll tell you what. You go give what you have, sell and give what you have to the poor, and then come follow me." And so the rich young ruler walked away sorrowfully because he had great wealth. The problem was not his wealth. The problem is where he put his trust. That's what Jesus was getting at. The problem was not his wealth. Jesus was never against wealth in and of itself. The Bible is not against wealth in and of itself. It's for a kingdom purpose. Wealth is designed to be used for God's kingdom purposes. And when it is not, when it gets distorted or perverted, either individually or collectively in our congregations or in our families or in our states or nation, then money has become a snare to our soul. So when we look at the issue of money, we have to think in terms of, well, what would be best to serve the kingdom of God in this regard? Not to give everything you have to the poor, because then you'd have nothing left. You have nothing left to give to anybody. That's where people make the error. It's an issue of trust. Which means, friends, that when we think about this particular debate or any other aspects now with regard to the further procession of this 2024 presidential election and all the other elections behind it or that follow behind it, whether there be the in Congress or the Senate or any other local elections that might tend to follow on the shoe tails or the coattails of the presidential election. We need to realize that from the Christian perspective, it's not about power, perks, and position. Those things are relatively irrelevant. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about what best serves the ultimate purposes of the kingdom of God, including following the commandments of God. See, Jesus didn't disabuse the rich young ruler of his claim that he had followed the commandments from his youth up. That was a good thing. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, it says to us, blessed are those who have the faith of Jesus and keep the commandments. They're the ones that are going to enter into the kingdom, who kept the faith of Jesus and keep the commandments. You see, it's not just about faith in general. It's about obedience. It's about doing something that's consistent with, so that the words of our alleged confessions of faith actually take root and have traction in the real world where we live, including our politics. Now, as I launched into this today, I just had to realize, you know what? There's absolutely no way I can create some sort of an outline, some sort of a point by point by point here. I've got to trust the Holy Spirit to inspire this particular program today, as I always do every day, but this in particular, because I don't want this to appear to be some sort of a political pumping of any particular candidate in and of itself. Because then we betray the trust factor that God is calling us to have. Now, it is interesting that an article came out just today saying that GOP politicians declared that faith-focused voters will decide this election. Faith-focused voters. You notice it doesn't say faith-based or people who allege to be Christians. It says faith-focused voters. In other words, if the vote of the people is focused on their faith and its purposes, that is the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Notice, we can say we believe in the kingdom of God and we want to be part of the kingdom of God and so on. But what most people don't deal with, including our pastors, is righteousness. For remember, righteousness alone exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now, we had two candidates. Each one called the other a liar. Did you notice that? Mr. Biden is going on now in various other public appearances, and I've heard him speak now, in which he's saying that Trump is the biggest liar ever in history. No president has ever told so many lies in such a short period of time in a debate. Well, I'm not here to answer that question. I'm not sure that you can answer that question. One of the problems that Mr. Trump has is exaggeration. One of the problems that Mr. Biden has is exaggeration. The moment you go to exaggerate is the moment you can be accused of lying, because you went beyond the scope of your privilege to speak based upon facts. So the question is, what were the underlying facts? Were the underlying facts true? Was it just an expression that went beyond, that exaggerated beyond the underlying facts? Or was it a complete distortion of the underlying facts, which made it a lie? You have to think about things like this. But ultimately, righteousness is right ways-ness before God. Not according to the Democrat Party view, not according to the Republican Party view, not according to an American view, not according to a Russian view or a Vatican view. According to God's viewpoint as expressed in his word, not just in one place, but throughout the whole word. It's not about picking and choosing. It's about understanding and living out the entire picture of the Word of God. That's what Jesus did. Remember, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory full of two things, grace and truth. Not just grace. Grace and truth. And what's missing in all of these conversations is both. Now, somewhere along the line, as followers of Christ, we must be discerning. We must have a discerning spirit. Grace is not saying something that makes people feel good. Grace is not saying something that feels nice. But it does have to do with God's favor and enabling power to enable us to accomplish his will. So Jesus, remember, was full of the Father's grace and truth. The grace enabling him to do what the Father asked him to do, and the truth being what the Father asked him to do, both in word and in deed. That's what we are called to do. And therefore, you and I, as Christians, must be looking carefully for candidates where the predominance of what they say and do, not just what they say, but what they do, are consistent or congruent within the broader perspective with the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You've heard it said, I can't hear what you say because what you do speaks way too loudly. In other words, what you do is speaking more loudly than what you say, even if you're screaming at me. Now, you can find ways to pick apart Joe Biden and Donald Trump with regard to their doings historically. You can also find it with regard to what they're doing or not doing currently or in the last 4, 5, or 7, or 8 years. Which acted more consistently with the word, will, and ways of God? For instance, we'll focus on something that caused one of the CNN participators to literally erupt in an emotional diatribe right on national television after the debate. Let's talk about that when we get back. You're listening to Viewpoint, and Viewpoint really does determine destiny, friends. It really does.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries
on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Great to have you join us here on Viewpoint today as we do a post-debate conversation and perhaps, hopefully, thought-provoking and heart-stirring approach to all of the things that we're facing, the decisions that we're facing, that our country is facing, and how we as Christians should respond. It's not about Democrat Party. It's not about Republican Party. It's about God's party. It's about the truth that alone will make us free. Not our feelings, not our party predilections, not the pursuit of power, perks, and position, but the truth that will make us free if we live by it. Not just confess it with our mouth, but live by it. Before we go further, I want to make available to you my book, Renewing the Soul of America. Renewing the Soul of America. 38 national Christian leaders have endorsed this book. It is more pertinent today than the day it was written. Why did 38 national Christian leaders endorse this book? Because it did something that no other book in our time has done or even tried to do. It actually showed us what God was interested in bringing about the change we could believe in our country. To renew the soul, the mind, will, and heart of the country. Not the politics of the country, the mind, will, and heart of the country. Because if that doesn't change, the politics are helpless to do any real change in the long run. Do you realize that? You can put all your hope and trust and energies into promoting a particular political outcome, but by itself, it will not bring ultimate hope. It just will not. As Randy Tate and Don Hodell said when they took over the Christian Coalition years ago, they said, if we were to fill every elective office in this country with so-called born-again Christians of the ilk that we currently have displayed in this country, America would still not change. Why? They said America will not change until the hearts of the people, we the people, change. And they were right. But Pat Robertson didn't want to hear it because that statement wouldn't raise money. And so they were fired. They told the truth. From God's perspective, from the kingdom of God's perspective, that it wasn't about political power in and of itself. It was about spiritual power that changed the life of the people from the inside out. And if God's people, his warmest audience, could not act or live according to the principles of the kingdom of God, notwithstanding all their protestations to the contrary, the rest of the political power was hopeless. And they were right. We just can't seem to grasp it. Now, there are others who say, well, you know what? I want to seek first the kingdom of God, and I don't want to get involved in all this nasty political stuff. And I don't put any hope in that. That isn't the point. The point isn't that you don't put your ultimate hope in that. It's that you're required by God to live out the truth in this generation before God and the world. You're required to live that out. God didn't give you some special dispensation to avoid responsibility, to vote in a nation that gives you the freedom to express the truth or lack thereof in the role of government? Come on, my friends. What are you, some Pontius Pilate that washes your hands and say, I can't take any responsibility for this. I'm just going to go on and do my thing. You can't do that. The book, Renewing the Soul of America, will inspire you amid all of these trials and tribulations. That's why 38 National Christian leaders endorsed it. They said, there's been nothing like this book. It's transformative. In fact, it was Pat Robertson who said, this book contains the answers if we have the courage to implement them. Right there in the front of the book. It's an $18 book, yours for $15. It's on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. Renewing the Soul of America. There's a hope-filled book. There is a truth-filled book. You can call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. You can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. Now, interestingly, last evening, after the debate, I went to CNN to hear what their post-debate commentary was going to be. They had 10 or 12 contributors from CNN there all around this big, long table. They were all filled with fear, anxiety, panic. And one of them got so expressive, he stood up right there on national television. He stood up and began to wave his arms. And he said, how could this man, this Joe Biden, not understand and communicate with passion the Democrat Party's, our whole agenda, is based upon getting abortion spread throughout the country without any restrictions? How could he not do that? This is our number one goal, he said, for our party in this election, to spread abortion without restrictions. Oh, the truth came out really strong there, didn't it? He was telling the truth. They don't have any other agenda other than behind the scenes preparing America for a new world order or globalism. Other than that, the only thing they have to sell is abortion. Now, that being the case, what does that say to you as a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, where God gives us a creation ordinance from the very get-go that He created man and woman, male and female, created He them, and they were to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth? You don't find anything cause there for limiting their children, do you? The Bible says, blessed is the one who has a quiver full of them. It's all about children blessing, not cursing the relationships of people. The Democrat Party has a completely opposite viewpoint. Completely opposite. And we began to see it with Barack Obama. He set the stage big time when he said, we're 5 days away from the fundamental transformation of America just before his inauguration. And then he said, we're going to spread abortion throughout the whole world. We're going to make America's taxpayer money, and we're going to use it to advance the cause of abortion and homosexuality all across the world, and especially in Africa. And that's what he did. And Barack and Mr. Obama has dedicated himself to the same thing. Just look at what he says and what his party does. Are you beginning to see how we have to evaluate these things? Those are things going right to foundational principles of life itself. And that's just one issue. Former Democrat Congresswoman from Hawaii, Tulsi Gabbard, who left her party in part because of what she saw as its war on the Christian faith, said that religious voters need to get on board with the GOP because her former colleagues in the Democrat Party are trying to erase God from every facet of our public life. Did you hear that? Tulsi Gabbard from Hawaii, a liberal state. She left her party because what she saw was the Democrat Party's war on the Christian faith, trying to erase God from every facet of our public life. She said, "We will play a critical role, especially at a time when we have the Biden-Harris administration and the Democrat elite who are fundamentally against freedom, including freedom of religion, and have a long track record that threatens people of faith and spirituality." She continues, she explained that the left is attempting to erase faith from public life. Now, is there truth in what she says? Absolutely, there's truth. In fact, it's displayed every single day. It's displayed in all the actions that are taken, the legal actions, the political actions, the verbal actions, the attitudes. It's just displayed openly. It's a political party that has chosen the route of persecution against Christians as one of its primary driving forces to unify the base. Just saying it like it is. I don't even know who you are. I don't have to know who you are because we're not talking about feelings here. We're talking about truth. We're talking about genuine biblical faith. And believe it or not, it's breaking news, but 7 years later, Snopes, the liberal fact-checking organization, called Joe Biden a liar because of what he said very much last night.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
University of Michigan presidential debate expert Aaron Call called Biden's performance last night probably the worst performance of a candidate, certainly an incumbent candidate ever. But Barack Obama is urging voters to stick with Biden despite a bad debate. Why? Because Joe Biden is his prodigy, his disciple. He is, in some respects, the best Obama can have to be the third, run a third term of the presidency. So Mr. Biden becomes his surrogate. Without him, Obama has nobody left. Now what's he going to do? I mean, this is Mr. Obama out of his own words. But speaking of Snopes, that liberal fact-checking organization, sometimes it's right, sometimes it's not. But you may recall last evening that Joe Biden looked right at Donald Trump and told him one of the biggest of all the anti-Trump lies. It is the lie Biden claims made him decide to run in 2020. It had to do with Charlottesville, Virginia, where a violent confrontation broke out over the planned removal of a Confederate monument. White nationalists wanted the monument to remain and stage a rally. And we know that the rest of it was not pretty. A woman was killed. So later, 3 days later, following criticism of what many called this weak initial response to the tragedy, Trump held a press conference. And in that press conference, a reporter asked him, Mr. President, are you putting what you're calling the alt-left and white supremacists on the same moral plane? Trump responded, I am not putting anybody on a moral plane. There was one group on this side, you can call them the left, you just called them the left. They came violently attacking the other group. You can say what you want, but that's the way it is. The reporter says the neo-Nazis started this thing. They showed up in Charlottesville. Trump said, excuse me, they didn't put themselves down as neo-Nazis. There were some very bad people in that group. But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides, and you people had in that group, excuse me, I saw the same pictures you did. You had people in that group that were there to protest the taking down of them, a very, very important statue and the renaming of a park from Robert E. Lee to another name. Are we going to take down statues to George Washington? How about Thomas Jefferson? What do you think of Thomas Jefferson? You like him? In other words, Trump at no point called the neo-Nazis good people. And Snopes, 7 years later now, comes out and admits it publicly the day before the debate. And Joe Biden chose the old version, the lie, to repeat before the American people in the debate. This is what Mr. Trump has had to deal with. Has he always told the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Probably not. Have you? Don't answer too quickly. We've got two major pastors in the country, well-respected, that have just dropped out of the ministry because they didn't. And it came back to haunt them. You see the problem that we have, friends. Ain't nobody that's going to stand in front of the American people to run for president who is absolutely perfect. So what is it that we're going to have to be looking for? We have to look for those whose words and deeds, their principled outlook now, not 50 years ago, but now, their principled outlook that is consistent with their words and their behavior is closest to advancing the kingdom of God and his righteousness in a nation that continues to claim to be under God. That's what we need to do. Stop the selfish look at these things. Rick Santorum, former senator, said to Newsmax, "The debate is changing voters' minds. It's already led 5% of viewers to tell CNN that they changed their minds about voting for Biden." Now, why would they do that? Why would they change their minds? The reason is because they saw with their own eyes, they heard with their own ears that which spoke the reality, notwithstanding what he was telling or the Democrat Party or the representatives of his administration were telling them on national news. Now they saw it with their own eyes. Now, this has made its way across the world, obviously. The results are in, as we've discovered. Fred Flights writes a piece saying Biden's debate performance will hit national security the hardest. The debate greatly increases Donald Trump's chances of winning. Democrats know this and are now in an appreciable, if not vociferous, panic mode. But the debate outcome may seriously endanger American national security because of our enemies, which they saw an extremely weak and distracted president last night, who they believe will be succeeded by a much stronger president next January, who will reassert American leadership and power. For what purpose? For righteousness purpose, friends. To keep people out that don't belong in the country. In other words, law abiding. The most immediate national security consequence of Biden's debate disaster will be a surge in illegal immigration, drugs, hostile intelligence agents, and in terrorists coming across America's unprotected southern border. The Mexican cartels will rush to cash on the final months of the Biden presidency to bring huge numbers of migrants and fentanyl into the U.S. before a reelected President Trump closes the southern border next January. Terrorist groups and hostile intelligence services will move quickly to get their operatives into the U.S. by illegally crossing the southern border. Friends, we're not talking about a heart for hospitality here. That's a Christian thing. We're talking about illegality that's facilitating a flood of illegal immigrants coming into the country for ulterior motives not consistent with the welfare of we the people, or necessarily even for their own welfare. It's for political power, perks, and position. The Kremlin now has commented. Yeah, this article from the Russian Times. Moscow will not publicly assess the outcome of the debate. But then they talk about how the Democrat Party, through lies and false accusations, caused a rift to come between Trump and Russia through so-called Russiagate. But now they say that the Trump-Biden debate has been widely described in the U.S. media as the humiliation for the 81-year-old Democrat. Now, to wrap up, I want to share with you, you can think it's humor, you can think it's satire. It's not written to be a statement of fact to be received, shall we say, as an article of an exhibit before a court. What it is a satire article written to reveal a truth in a simple way that almost nobody wants to admit. And here it is. The title is Democrats Float Draft of Long-Awaited Alternative to the Ten Commandments. Now remember, we did a program on the Ten Commandments earlier in the week. So now we're going to wrap up here in the context of the debate and of the election. It did not take long for Democrats to respond to Louisiana's new legislation that would require the Ten Commandments to be displayed in every public school and university classroom in the state. The party of Clinton, Obama, and Biden has offered a compromise, stating that while the original Ten Commandments are hateful, they're willing to update them on an updated post-God rewrite. So the following Democrat-approved draft was obtained by an intrepid Babylon Bee reporter, but is still being debated by warring gender factions before being introduced at the coming Chicago convention. Again, remember, this is satire, but as they say, many a truth is spoken in jest. So here are the so-called rewritten Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods besides yourself, for your desires take precedence over all. You shall not misgender your neighbor in vain, for your teacher shall not hold you blameless. Remember to wear skimpy clothes and keep them holy, full of holes. You shall uncover your nakedness. You shall honor your teacher and hate your transphobic parents. You shall not tell your parents if you decide to chemically alter your body to be a different gender. Thou shalt not kill the sexual vibe the teacher has created in the classroom. You shall know every detail of your teacher's sex life for some reason. You shall not attain basic literacy. You shall use neither appropriate capitalization or punctuation of any kind. You shall hate and bully the straight white male, for he is the worst. Persecute him and bless him not, for his sins are many. You shall not bear false witness, unless it's against Donald Trump in a courtroom. In that case, bear away. If you shall not forbid, thou shalt not forbid abortion. Offer up your children to Moloch, and at every opportunity in the name of reproductive rights. And finally, thou shalt covet thy neighbor's everything. Everything he has should be yours. He is privileged, and you are entitled to his wife and anything else that he has, because it's all about you. What do you think? Is there any truth to that? I think there's a lot of truth in it. And because it's presented as satire, we can really kind of say, you know what? That's the way it is. That attitude, that difference of viewpoint is what differs the blue states from the red states. No wonder we can't seem to get together. Unless we agree with those rewritten Ten Commandments and the spirit behind them, we're told we're just a bunch of bigots. Therefore, what we're really dealing with is spiritual warfare, friends. Fundamentally, this isn't political. The politics are just a symptom. The real issue is a spiritual battle, my friend. I hope you understand that. Get a copy of my book, Renewing the Soul of America. $15 will put the $18 book in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. It'll encourage your soul for such a time as this. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. God bless. Be a blessing. Pray for our country. We're in deep trouble.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church, declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.